Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold tight. All right, so let's try again.
Let's. Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to this, the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. What we do take seriously, however, is how much we love the game and how dedicated we are to it, which is why we have no off-season, we have no pre-season, we have a 52-week season of bringing you podcasts every single week from the Rugby Dungeon. I am Tim, JB is over there.
Hello, Timothy.
Phil is right there.
Hello, Tim.
Actually, there's another theme tune I think I want to sort of just throw into the mix here as we start this podcast. Do you recognise this?
No.
Do you recognise it at all? I've got a couple of years on you guys.
No.
What is this?
Bergerac.
Ah, I do remember Bergerac, yeah.
The Jersey-based detective.
Quite right.
I bet he is overrun at the moment.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about, including Sipper's latest skirmish. And we've got Rugby Championship, we've got Exeter and Saracens, the final one of our little look ahead to the Gallagher Premiership sides ahead of the new season, and some other rugby stories that are going on. Should we start with Sippers?
It's the biggest news.
Let's get straight into Sippers.
It's not even big news. You know. It is and it isn't. It is and it isn't. It's something and nothing, isn't it?
Well, it was the biggest headlines. It's definitely been the biggest headlines this week. It was front page of English papers news.
Yeah. On the day that Aretha Franklin died, I think, was it?
Was it?
Was it? Was there one after? That was like Cipriani was 75% of the front page. Aretha Franklin was kind of a little strip
footnote.
What was it? International Diva Day. look, it's a shame because he has immaculate timing when playing rugby, just horrible timing when it comes to real life. That's probably the difference. And I tell you what didn't help that week is Ben Stokes. So Ben Stokes gets off with whatever he gets off with. That's completely unrelated. But there's a feeding frenzy in the media. Like, they need a replacement story. And all of a sudden, you know, Golden Wrists gets himself in trouble.
Yeah.
And there you go. It is what it is.
So it was at the Little Drift, or the nightclub. It ended up, so they had a behind-closed-doors training session with Jersey. Bit of a team bonding few days away, which Johan Ackerman's very big on. He was very disappointed. Was it last season when they couldn't have a bit of a knees up? And when he was talked about this trip, he was like, you got the impression from Johan Ackerman, it's like, actually, the bonds that tie you together through a season are forged in the bar.
Yeah, completely right. Or do you reckon, on the other hand, he might just have a really demanding wife and like he just wants to get out any way he can? Because that's the sort of thing that I would do. I would set up an event.
So the facts are Danny Cipriani pleaded guilty to common assault and to resisting arrest.
That's correct, yeah.
When he, outside of a nightclub, he took exception to being filmed by the bouncer. It led to believe who had a camera on his tie. Cipriani pulled the tie, for which he apologised. That led to the police getting involved. He then pulled his arm away whilst being cuffed, grabbed the shirt of a police officer who happened to be a female police officer, but that is an irrelevant part of the story for me.
Yep, completely agreed.
And that was that. The magistrate said it was a minor offence and yep. a fine is more than sufficient.
So he received £2,000 fine for the incident and a further £250 compensation to the female police officer.
£250. It's easy money, isn't it? It's easy money. What?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness
now,
me.
One of the aspects here is that I think it might have been seen as a lesser of two evils. I'm just speculating here, but to get it dealt with, get it out of the way, plead guilty,
and
move
get
on, draw a line under it, rather than contest it, possibly thinking, you know, as Ben Stokes did with his much more serious charges.
Serious. If Ben Stokes could pay 20 or 30 grand to get out of that little pickle that he was in, he would have paid it.
But he would have had to have pleaded guilty then.
That's what I mean. If I was in the situation of either of those two boys and I had just the option of saying, yeah, hands up, did it, here's some cash, let's all play on, that's what I would do.
The difference here is if Ben Stokes pleads guilty, then
he goes to jail.
He's doing some jail time.
Dare I say, what you were saying is, in other words, is let the boys pay.
Let the boys pay. If you've got the money, pay the money, get it done with. It's not like he's scrounging around on minimum wage. Just pay the money and get back to work and just have no more about this.
Mm.
But it is interesting because Danny Cipriani divides opinion. A lot of people think he's a bit of an idiot and this, that and the other. And actually, he's worked incredibly hard on the field and off the field to get back to where he is. And this isn't just an accident that he's back in the England squad. It's like the accumulation of, nearly 10 years hard work since he's been back in the UK, playing really, really good rugby. And it's just, I love the story about, the redemption and how he's back there now. And that's the disappointing bit for me, which is, now he's going to be associated with this again. And he's far, far better than that, both on the field and off the field.
Well, he does. He has got some previous off the field.
Yeah, in
particular. But we'd all been working on the principle that since he'd come back to the UK after his stint in Australia, since Steve Diamond took him under his wing, mm-hmm. and since his period in Wasps, that he'd corrected most of those off-season
issues. Well, it was 2016. It was 2016 when he was convicted of drink driving and banned for 18 months.
Was he convicted?
He got a ban for 18 months.
Did that not just go away?
No, he was banned from driving for 18 months.
I thought it went away because it was World Cup time, wasn't it?
No, it was the year after. Was it not the year after?
I'm sure when he crushed his Mercedes.
There was a scuffle with Mike Catt on the England training field before the World Cup, which the England coaches said had nothing to do with him not being selected.
That's
squad.
How it works.
Anyway, that's what they said. But no, it was 2016. It may have been 2015 when the incident happened, or 2016 when the incident happened. Anyway, doesn't matter. He has had previous with the law. But do you know what? With this, I actually think whether it's Danny Cipriani or Johnny Wilkinson, whatever, it's completely irrelevant. The fact is, where do we want to go with this?
He's a role model, Tim.
Well, this is kind of the point. Manu Tuilagi, didn't he plead guilty to very similar charges, or even worse? Might have been even actually worse charges.
Similar, I think it is. But yeah,
it was similar.
Yeah, here's my solution to the whole he's a role model thing, right? If you're a young kid and you're looking for a role model to be a fly half, Look at Danny Cipriani, because he's an amazing, amazing player. Just look how hard he works on the field, his range of passing, his dedication to his craft, yada, yada, yada. If you cannot distinguish between Danny Cipriani after a few beers and Danny Cipriani, the amazing fly half, and feel that you need to not only to replicate his range of passing, but also his once every 10-year behaviour.
Once every
2 years. It's definitely yearly, right? Then you probably need more than just a role model. So I can't buy that argument one bit. And also, I've got lots of role models. For instance, my mum's a role model to me. She's incredibly nice, incredibly kind. But in no way do I use it as a role model when I'm approaching a ruck. So I can comfortably separate what different people do in different role model modes.
And I'll go into this. If I'm a parent, we're, you know, JB's a parent now. That mm-hmm. might be something Phil thinks about in the future with Claire. But I don't ever think of abdicating any of my responsibility for instilling values and virtues into my children.
To Danny Cipriani.
Or anyone for that matter.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, very, very true. Yeah, and can I just put another thing out, right, which I was thinking about this all the time, particularly with regards to young men's sports. Like, the guys that play sport are usually the sort of guys who would climb up scaffolding or might scuffle with police officers, or in another world might have to, you know, storm a machine gun nest. You know, young men are inherently impulsive and stupid. In fact, I'm amazed it doesn't happen more often.
It's a fair point, actually.
Well, I don't think it happens. I think it probably happens less because nights out like this happen much less. But can you imagine if you were comparing this incident to what is in the library's worth of autobiographies of role model rugby players of the past?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly right. Well, there's a really disingenuous article in the Times this week from a guy called Stephen Brown, I want to say his name was. It was just garbage, actually. So the headline was Cipriani, who's used to getting his own way, does something, right? But it really, really stuck in my throat. Cipriani used to getting his own way. What does that even mean? Is that even a bad thing? I mean, do we say GP used to getting their own way? Because generally when they speak, people do as they say. It's not necessarily a bad thing. He does get his own way all the time because he's more than often right about, you know, basically most things that he does, particularly in regards to rugby. Then it goes down. It's sort of like a hit piece, which is dressed up as journalism. And at the very end, it shows three examples of rugby players doing bad things compared to footballers doing good things. So, like, I don't know, there's one footballer with a cancer-ridden child compared to one rugby player who had done something else. And, like, it just goes on and on and on.
Oh, and is it a part of a drinking culture of rugby?
Oh, that's what I love, the drinking culture. The drinking culture. I mean, this is pure Wales Online territory now with social amplification and all the rest of it. But if drinking culture didn't work, why is it that the armed forces insist on you all going for a beer together? Why is it that big organisations, maybe like yours, Phil, require you to go for a few drinks every now and again, most weeknights?
Yeah.
I mean, that it is a drinking culture because there's drinking culture everywhere because it works. It's like a social cohesive.
To be fair to the Times, yeah. David Walsh in the Sunday Times today, the headline, I won't read any more because I think this sums it up. His headline is, Danny Cipriani's nightclub skirmish was the smallest storm in the smallest teacup.
Yeah. But unfortunately, literally the only thing happening in Jersey. Oh, actually, except for the Harlequins guy falling out of the...
It wasn't quite the only thing that happened.
Yeah, because there's more Jersey-based news.
There is. Which is worth a brief mention.
Well, a guy from Harlequins fell out of a window.
Yeah.
I don't know, first floor or second floor, but...
Physio staff, I think.
Well, nobody knows. So remember staff. Anyway, they're stable and hopefully they'll make a full recovery and, you know, best wishes to them.
Absolutely,
But, you know, what goes on in Jersey stays in Jersey.
Or does not stay in Jersey and is splashed all on the front pages of tabloids.
Or it stays in Jersey either in a jail cell or in a hospital bed. You know.
I hope it has no effect on his England future, but the RFU have said they're opening up disciplinary proceedings. We don't know what that means.
So that is the most disappointing thing. I'm disappointed with Danny Cipriani. It's stupid, especially with his reputation, and I thought he would be a bit better than that. But I was astonished to hear that the RFU were opening up disciplinary proceedings, primarily because Danny Cipriani is not contracted to the RFU.
And yeah.
So this raised a massive question to me as to what power have they got to do that?
And didn't the RFU rule on Luke Arscott in the sale thing?
Well, so the document that they're doing it under, the RFU rules, it does talk about any cheating or kind of anti-betting stuff. But, so the RFU rules, I've got it in front of me now.
Of course you have.
Of course. Rules of the RFU, Rugby Football Union. Most of this is about growing the game and dealing with the makeup and any issues or actions for the board of the RFU and the financial obligations of the RFU. And kind of nested within there is this catch-all provision alongside raising funds, dealing with pensions and all the rest of it. There is this catch-all obligation that says the union shall have any power to discipline any member, which Denis Cipriani's not, rugby body, which he's not, non-voting member of the union, which he's not, and then it goes on to say any player, official, member or employee of a member or a rugby union for any infringement of these rules, which he hasn't done, the RFU regulations, which he hasn't done, the laws of the game, which he hasn't done, the World Rugby regulations, which he hasn't done, and for any conduct which is prejudicial to the interests of the union or the game or which amounts to cheating. So it's
prejudicial.
This is like hidden alongside dealing with pensions. There is this catch-all. But interestingly, there is no precedence for this being used for off-field.
To me, it sounds like good news.
Didn't they do it with the... No, I think you're wrong there. They did it with Manu Tuilagi and the ferry. But at the time, he was in England, wasn't he?
So he was on England duty.
Is this not good news? I would assume it's good news because they've obviously patched up all of the financial difficulties on their stand. You know, obviously, all the community coaches are back in full employment and all the redundancies have been unwound. Because they must have got over all of their other problems to go finally to Danny Cipriani. So I assume this is great news for English rugby.
I think it's actually because he's pleaded guilty. And I think he did that to, as a prag... Well, again, I'm speculating, but a pragmatic decision because he might have wanted to have cleared himself of the charges, but realised that that could mean he's ends up in court during the Autumn Internationals, for example.
Do you know... whose conduct I've loved during this is, I want to say Steve Vaughan. It is Steve Vaughan, CEO of Gloucester. And what I love about this is it's this kind of, okay, he's one of ours. We're going to look at it in the cold light of day. And then we're going to release a statement. And then we're going to stick together. I think that's such a refreshing,
It's what they did with Johan Ackerman last year.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I mean, I'd love it if I was a fan. I'd love it if I was a player. There's nothing worse than cowardly behaviour of people at the top who say that they've got that they've got your back, or they pay your salary, or what have you, and they throw you under the bus at the first sign of pressure. Steve Vaughan has done remarkably well here. I think that's a really, really good sign for Gloucester.
We'll see how it plays out, but there we go. Not the start to his Gloucester career that Danny Cipriani wanted.
You missed one. We haven't discussed one particular thing. What do you think about the golden handcuffs?
The golden wrists. So yeah, whilst being handcuffed, he said, careful, he said, those wrists are golden, loosen the cuffs.
Brilliant. I don't.
if he said that, he should get.
He's
another...
an idiot. If he said that, he's an idiot because he's undersold himself. They're far more valuable than simple gold.
He should have another £20,000 fine if he said that.
No, they should give him £20,000 because he's got golden wrists. He can demand whatever, whatever he wants. But it did make me think of the scene off The Fighter. I've seen that where they hammer his hands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tighten him up. Teach him a lesson.
Yeah, God.
So, anyway, that's a fun start.
Sippers! Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens as well with another England player who's on the fringes and wants to force themselves into a World Cup score because Chris Ashton gave a left hook to a Cast player in a friendly over the weekend.
100% deserved it.
Which could get him, a punch to the head. Minimum sanction, I think, is 4 weeks.
But isn't this like a pinch of the head during training?
No, it's a pre-season game. Roman Poit was the referee.
Yeah, but I don't think
full
it's
a referee.
Yeah, no. Pre-season games are not exempt. They're exactly the same.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, Roman Poit's going to put a...
Hang on, are you absolutely sure about that?
Yes, because it's likely that he could get a four-week ban. If Roman Poit processes a report.
Citing report.
Good
then,
God.
Then 4 weeks, which would mean he misses the first 3 weeks of the Premiership, which is the only three games before Eddie Jones names his England squad for the Autumn Internationals.
which might actually be better for you because it might mean he's not in Eddie Jones's squad.
Me? I don't care. So let me just work this out. In a friendly, you can play basically as many subs as you want.
Yeah.
You can divide it into four quarters. And yet he can get banned for it. I mean, this strike...
punching someone in the face.
Yeah, but like, people punch each other in the face up and down training sessions all over the land. They don't get banned for it.
But they don't have full referees and assistant referees.
But I mean, what if you just had opposed scrimmaging with a referee that shows up?
But that's a different situation.
It's certainly analogous.
It's not a game on report. So a referee, when he referees a game, needs to submit a post-match report.
Is it because it's open to the public, or I mean, what?
I don't know the reasons behind it.
Because you could easily have like a match in Carrington, or a match Oval Park. And
well, there have been behind closed doors games that have been organised between teams.
And there's a dust up.
Yeah, but that's
so
that's,
yeah. Maybe so. Maybe it is
maybe
the,
it's the open doors.
The
thing,
open
the
doors.
Fact that there's a crowd there. Oh, kids! Don't forget kids. Yeah, maybe that's it. And maybe if it hadn't been all over Twitter, maybe no one would have mentioned it.
Well, do we know yet if the report on the sighting has actually taken place?
No, we don't know that. If he processes it, the minimum is likely to be 4 weeks. That means he won't play before the autumn international squad is announced. So that'll be another interesting one for Eddie Jones.
Oh, dear. Downfall 2018, eh?
And he was wearing 15. And yeah. Denny Solomona was wearing 13.
Yeah, because 13, AJ's injured. So AJ's injured. Sam James.
Sam James went to...
Yeah, and then James O'Connor's not back. And I'm not even too sure when he will be back, to be fair. Yeah.
Well, I've seen some videos of him on Instagram.
Where is he?
Doing some very odd things.
Yeah, he's doing animal movements at the moment. That's his new thing. So
he's up in... It looks like Scotland.
You're talking like bear crawl.
Doing like Conor McGregor movement stuff. Oh, okay. He's doing all that at the moment, so yeah.
He doesn't look in great nick. There's some pictures of him running topless on a beach.
I've not seen him topless, I mean, we'll say that. But I did see him a few weeks ago at the Sale barbecue thing, and he looks a lot bigger.
He looked big with his top off.
Now,
not in a good way.
Oh, really? Well, when I saw him at Sale, it looked like he'd put on a lot of weight. I assumed bulk, like good bulk. But I've not seen him with his top off. He looked substantially bigger.
I love the fact that only on this podcast will you get people talking about topless people on Instagram and it's James O'Connor.
Yep. Yeah. But he takes his, just a little inside here, he takes his stretching and movement stuff. And I'm not sure if he takes it quite as far as yoga, but he does an awful lot of that stuff all the time.
Hot yoga is a properly tough workout. Yeah. I've done it a couple of times.
I don't see why I'd want to do it. I've heard that.
Absolutely dripping when I did it.
Horrific.
I've done it as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
No thanks.
I've always had kind of problems with flexibility. So
yes. Yes, you have actually. Horrific hamstrings.
Supposed to help with that.
Yeah. So, yeah, if he was back, I assume he'd be playing 10, but if not, Sam James is. I mean, then he goes to 13. Not great for squad depth.
An issue on depth, yeah. So, let's go to James O'Connor's countrymen and the Rugby Championship. Down under. No, it seems hilarious. It seems like Steve Hansen was just trolling Australia when a week ago he said Australia were favourites for Bledisloe 1.
I actually thought I was watching it on record from last time that they played. I mean, it was eerily similar. Australia looked very good. All Blacks scored before the half, scored after the half, and that was it, really.
Well, it's eerily similar to so many New Zealand games where teams managed to live with them for 40 minutes only and then they blast them away in the second half.
Yeah. You
know, what struck me, right, and tell me if you think I'm completely insane here, but I actually think the Australians match the All Blacks man for man, certainly in terms of athletic ability. I mean, there's obviously some mismatches. Like, you definitely have, you definitely pick Barrett over, what's his name? Foley, right?
Foley.
But generally speaking, man for man, there isn't a ton in it. But just New Zealand as a team is just so much superior. I was looking at, like, Cora Betty versus...
Naholo.
You look at someone like Beale, who is almost certainly always better than his opposite man.
Well, scrum and line out.
But they were both losing line outs. Like,
Australia were getting pumped.
They did both lose line outs. Australia, I think 8 line outs. I've seen 6, 7, and 8. I've not counted them personally.
I have. I seem to remember because I was watching line outs very, very closely. All Blacks lost 2 back to back.
Set piece, Australia got pumped.
Mm. Yeah, but again, right, so I was watching this, and I do not understand, this is a little bit geeky scrimmagey, right? I do not understand how they penalise the Australian guy when he is on his feet, and the prop opposite him, I think it was Franks, has gone long-legged and is lying on his stomach. That, to me, is a penalty. Well,
usually that's when you, if the prop hinges at the waist and their shoulders dip, that takes...
Or that guy's gone long-legged and then fell down.
He's overstretched and lost his balance.
So, yeah, I mean, you can hinge at the hips to draw the penalty. But that's why you hinge at the hips to draw the penalty, because it looks like the other guy's collapsed then, rather than you've collapsed. Mm. I was just surprised that they did that over and over again.
But Brody Retallack is a ridiculous specimen.
He is. I didn't realise...
Playing that game, throwing a dummy as well, just to show he's got it all.
And Whitelock on his 100th cap, which is amazing.
100th cap.
I couldn't believe he'd been around for so long.
Yeah, 29, I think he is. I saw somewhere something that said, I think it was from World Rugby, he's the first graduate of the under-20s World Cup who have achieve 100 caps.
Wow. Pretty impressive. It's amazing, isn't it, how they keep that squad together?
Yeah. And yet, every year, there's a handful of names you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And for the average rugby fan, who knew Jack Goodhue?
Nope.
Yeah.
He's Highlanders, is that right?
No, Crusaders.
So I actually don't know him. There you go.
So him and Crotty were certainly defensively the best centre partnership in the league.
Yeah,
that was a blow for the All Blacks, losing Crotty after 10, 12 minutes.
I think he's brilliant. I think he's absolutely brilliant.
And you could see it took them a little bit of time to kind of get back in their rhythm when Linnett Brown came back on.
Yeah, Linnett Brown, but then he wasn't starting. Lau Mappy, and you've got these Sonny Bill Williams, and then you've got this 23-year-old guy that people hardly know, Jack Goodhue, and he comes in and he looks made for Test rugby.
Yeah.
It's frightening, the talent. And also, the discussions that people were having in the last couple of weeks about who should start 10 for New Zealand look ridiculous as well now.
They do look ridiculous until you see the other 10 play. And then you think, oh, hang on a minute. Maybe these aren't ridiculous discussions.
Well, they've just got options, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they were all exceptional. The two I would... So you mentioned Whitelock, you mentioned Retallack and Whitelock, mm-hmm. who were both brilliant. The two I would mention, particularly in that second half, would be Smith and Naholo.
Mm.
Who, Smith, I keep thinking, so he is getting on a little bit now, 31. Maybe,
Mike Brown
maybe
with skills.
32. I keep thinking maybe he's gonna, maybe this will be the season where he starts to drop off. And he's just brilliant. His stats was 92 metres made, which was the third most in the game, and five defenders beaten, which was beaten by Jack Goodhue, who scored that long-range try, but he made 126 metres and six defenders beaten, which was smashed by Naholo, who made the same 126 metres but 13 defenders beaten.
Jeez.
Is just unreal.
Goodhue was top tackler as well, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think so.
Fair play.
Mm. Yeah, so another
him and Sam Kane.
Ominous.
Who's more boring, All Blacks or Leinster?
Leinster, who got hammered by Newcastle. In pre-season, albeit...
Yeah.
It was a Pro 14 Leinster side. It wasn't a Heineken Cup Leinster side.
Pro 14 against Treviso.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Treviso, who hammered Leicester Tigers.
Did they?
Took him to school. Took him to the cleaners. Dean Budd and the boys.
What was the score?
26-16 or something like that. Something like that. But yeah, a real pasting.
Yeah.
By the boys in green to the boys in green.
And then it was two comeback victories, wasn't it?
Tell you what, nobody takes banter worse than Leicester Tigers fans. No one. They're so sick. And it's what makes them special too, because they actually do care. But they get very annoyed when you point out that boys from Treviso battered them mercilessly.
I do love going to Leicester because it's a great place. It's full of fans who want to watch rugby.
Oh, they really do.
And
yeah.
They know their stuff.
And I think Ulster, I think the Champions Cup.
Yes,
I think Ulster are going there.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, you mentioned, so it was two victories from behind because South Africa were losing. It was two tries all, but they were losing at halftime against a resurgent Argentina. And it was only a bit of magic from Faf de Klerk, a couple of bits of magic from Faf de Klerk.
Faf is ace, we all know this. However, do you know who I thought was instrumental in this? Well, the two players I thought... Actually, no. The two guys that stood out. Not instrumental because wingers never are. But
Deante
and and Pimpy?
My Pimpy.
Oh, my word. That's so exciting. And I was sort of thinking about this in context of the other game which happened, about Nuholo and Corribetti, which I... There's sort of a bit of a bit of a trend now towards big dynamic yet direct wingers. Mind you, that's not really fair on Nuholo. He can do that and everything else.
Yeah.
But these two lads, they're like traditional wingers. They're just so electric. They're so quick.
It's speed and change of direction.
Yeah.
They're always
trying things. That's the other thing. They're always trying to do something a little bit quirky, whether it be a chip over the top from the opposition 5 meter line or whatever it is.
It sounds silly because they lost, and they lost comfortably in the end.
In the end,
yeah.
But I was relatively encouraged by Argentina, bearing in mind how poor they have been.
Yeah, yeah. They put in a decent
away.
They put in a decent performance, and it was. If it wasn't for, well, it was the last try, the faff try, which was 10 minutes from the end. If it wasn't for that, then it would have been a very respectable scoreline. And they were leading at half time.
They were
good, very good at the set piece, as they always are. But Nicolas Sanchez controlling the game. Their forwards giving the platform, and the backs making the right decisions. But eventually, they've not quite got the squad depth.
Yeah.
Why do South Africans not like rugby anymore? Does anyone know?
You're talking to the turnout at the stadium.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Like, actually pathetic. I mean, you would have thought. I'm pretty sure at some point the Millennium Stadium wasn't selling out. In fact, I say at some point quite often. But they just lowered the ticket prices. It's more important to get a full stadium to me than it is to have those optics for the rest of the country to see, for the rest of the world to see, quite frankly. South Africa's meant to be a major rugby power. Why they can't fill out their stadium is a disgrace.
Then if it should work in a cycle where if you lower the prices and then you get full stadiums and you start getting these incredible atmospheres, then more people want to go, so then you can start raising the prices again.
And winning
does help, which South Africa are doing at the moment.
Do you think it's just because it was Argentina? We'll see on their other home games.
That probably does contribute. And it's a big... They're in Durban, weren't they?
Yeah.
It is a big stadium.
Yeah, but it's still their national sport, right?
Yeah,
it's still you're right. What they pride themselves on. They've got more professional rugby players than anyone else, I think.
The Principality Stadium is a big stadium.
Yeah, so that was disappointing. When do they have the All Blacks? It's not next week, is it?
No, it's the reverse fixtures next week, I think.
So they might not see the All Blacks for a couple of weeks yet.
A couple of weeks, yeah.
Because I think, as good as South Africa are, they're nowhere near a finished article. I mean, they're very, very raw.
Yeah.
I'd just like to see them get a few more games underneath their belt. They're 3-4 at the moment, and they're still going to get hammered by the All Blacks.
A very important question regarding South Africa, Australia, all these other sides, in respect to fantasy rugby draft, is how many games do they miss of the Premiership season? Like, is guys like Vili Leroux going to be back for Wasps?
No, I think Vili Leroux and like Tamua. Well, Tamua is supposed to be flying back on rest weeks.
Yes, that's correct.
But Vili Leroux, I think, is missing pretty much all of it.
Brutal, okay. Isn't it?
Oh, flying back on rest weeks is brutal.
People say it's travelling takes it out of you. I don't think it does at all.
Oh, I think a 20-hour flight massively takes
it out of you. You've got all sorts of box sets to enjoy. I mean, he's not going by Ryanair, is he?
True. Part of it is like the air, the cabin pressure, that kind of thing.
I love flying.
Part of it is getting disrupted sleep.
Like, the longer the period I'm in the air, the better, really. And you just read and you can watch box sets and all's going to bother you. Your phone doesn't go off.
And that's why you're not a pilot.
And that's why I'm not a pilot, yeah. But no, if anything, for professional rugby players, you used to have been flogged every day. Maybe that's not a terrible thing.
Yeah, the altitude and being still for that length of time.
I wonder if that's going to drop Vili Leroux into the second round of our draft, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, because he was very good last year.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think
see
he
what
also
draft does for me.
What's draft day for us now? Is it a week on Tuesday?
Is it coming up that soon? 28th, 29th, yeah.
Tuesday.
28th or the 29th. 29th, I've got it in my head.
All right, I need to do some work. I need to get my draft board up. Right, so that's Rugby Championship. It's the reverse fixtures, as you say. So it's not going to get... Well, I wonder if this is the one Argentina need to really target.
This or Australia at home are the two that they will be targeting. I think I'd be surprised. Well, no. I would not be surprised if Argentina get at least one win. I'd phrase it like that. It's as kind of a non-committal as I can be with some positive reinforcement for Argentina.
I got you.
I think South Africa need to win this because they need to build in order if they're going to beat England first game of the autumn. They need results away.
And that's all you're focused on, isn't it?
That's exactly what I'm focused on. So they need results away. I think they'll beat Australia at home. That'll be three wins. They'll lose both their New Zealand games and they'll probably lose to Australia away.
If they're playing Australia away late in the tournament, in my head, South Africa have probably got slightly better squad depth than Australia.
Oh, just a quick word for Eben Etzebeth too. One of his carries in particular was magnificent.
How was it? First game in 9 months or first game in 8 months?
It reminded me of Lord of the Rings when they're trying to bring down the tree man.
Something we forgot to mention earlier on, but there's a few stories. So let's just rattle through a couple of quick stories from the Rugby Week. One of them, we made jokes about Paul Gustard.
Oh my word!
And Harlequins.
We made jokes about all defence coaches.
Yes, we did.
But actually, what we realised actually is Paul Gustard is just the caricature of the generic defence coach that we make fun of.
Life imitating art, as we heard the news that Paul Gustard has brought in a model bear into the Harlequins dressing room to help turn around their dismal defensive record.
I simply could not believe this when I read it.
Now, is this a bear as in like an animal, the bear? Or are we talking about like a husky gamer?
Isn't it like a 7 foot, 8 foot bear?
6 foot two was the listed size.
Of a 6 foot
a Chris
two
Robshaw sized bear.
Husky gay man. Because they can be quite defensive at
from
times.
BristolBears.com.
From BristolBears.com. or maybe that's exactly what it is. It's a life-size life-size mannequin of an Ian Madigan.
More Stephen Luatua.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wants to instill, much as he did with the wolf pack mentality in Saracens.
Bringing live wolves in
and instilling this whole brand of the wolf pack. It's the bear. We're going to be like a bear. What's the relationship between bears and rugby defence?
Well, I get the wolf pack thing because you're all working together to bring down an antelope or whatever they're after, right? But a bear, what are we doing? Stealing from each other and burying berries, or you know, are we eating as much as we can?
Catch things as they jump past us.
yeah, that's not bad. But bears for lying outs aren't too bad and scrummaging. But then, do they go to sleep like over the winter months? Because if they do, that's a perfect animal for the Harlequins.
It's a great analogy for Harlequins' pack for the past few seasons.
Exactly.
Maybe that's the point he was trying to make.
They're hibernating.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It'll be very interesting to see how they go.
They don't have the best defensive record in the Premiership this year. And then, hang on, what would be acceptable? Because I think Gastor thinks they will genuinely have the best defensive record in the league.
That is what he will be aiming for.
And that's what he said.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He didn't say that at all. He said, we will have one hell of a defence.
He will be targeting, in terms of both points conceded and tackle completion, he'll be targeting top two or three.
Yeah, you'd hope so. And also,
line speed.
Line speed is, of course, essential. Apparently, tackle completion is not essential anymore.
It doesn't always correlate with points conceded.
It's gain line. It's all about gain line.
No, it's...
line speed, gain line.
What's the other one?
Collision, win the collision.
No. The new trendy one, which is like something like positive outcome or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so like you can miss all your tackles, but as long as there's a positive outcome, you're okay. Which is one of those things that maybe stacks up on paper. Like looking back at it, you say, oh yeah, the tackle completion wasn't great, but hey, we defended well. But find me a defence coach that looks at tackle incompletion as a positive.
Yeah.
Or anyone who wants to have a higher tackle incompletion. It just doesn't exist.
Well, if you make no tackles because you kick off, win your own ball back, score a try.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So,
or if you make no tackles, Thomas Francis circa 2016. He looked good last year.
Talk about
He made a couple of tackles.
Yeah, so talk about a false dichotomy, right? When I was doing my RFU level two, the coach on RFU level two was talking about what you'd be happy with in rugby, and something to do with, I can't remember if it's defence or finding space. He goes, all right, let me ask you this question then. If I kick the ball off to you and you make no tackles because I catch the ball and I run around everyone and then score, and then we kick it back and I run around everyone again and score again, would you be happy with that? I was thinking, yes, I would, but in what world does this happen? What world does this happen?
Would you be happy as an attack coach or as a defence coach?
I think it must have been attack. Because he was saying,
very happy as an attack coach.
One of the trendy things is now, you know, it's not about contact or collisions or physicality. It's about skills and space. No, it's not. And that was his point. I don't wonder why I told that story.
I totally disagree. It is about skills and space.
Look at how New Zealand play. There is an element of skills and space.
That's the basis of which they play. And Northampton, their pre-season's been going quite well. And Sam Vesti is having a big impact. And
is he there, is he?
Yeah, those are the two.
He's going to be a brilliant coach.
Yeah, those are the two things he's working on. And with Chris Boyd coming in.
Can I just say, people that talk about skills and, you know, skills and space. People that talk about skills and space remind me of people who've just kind of got into a hobby of some description. Like you've just got into craft ales for the first time or something like that, and you like, you know, very easy to drink IPAs. When you finally advance your palate, that's when you finally get into the physicality and scrums and lineups. It is, and that's why the RFU push it.
That's like, bollocks. That's like going, if you had a £5 bottle of Plonk from Aldi, they do some good wines, and you had a £50 bottle of Plonk, you would convince yourself that the £50 one tasted better, even if you preferred the £5 one.
You'd convince yourself that your taste buds can tell the difference as well. Can appreciate, palate can appreciate the difference.
It's like cocktail barmen, cocktail makers, mixologists.
Like,
they drink only disgusting cocktails to prove a point that they know more about cocktails than you, like Negronis. I guess that's kind of what I'm doing. But yeah, if you want, you know, all the easy stuff on the palate, sure, talk about skills and space all day long, right? But if you want something really nuanced, really delicate, and you know, complex on the palate, you need to be getting into physicality, scrums, and lineups.
To bring this kind of full circle, the thing that makes the All Blacks so good, or one of the many things, is the fact that they do both.
Yes.
They do. So the lesson to take out of that is, if you're going to go out drinking, you need to drink your very expensive, your stupid cocktails. All Blacks can drink absolutely everything.
Yeah. Whereas South Africa more into their fine wines or... Exactly.
from your side.
I'll give you an example. Right? Lions versus Crusaders in the Super Rugby final. Like, the Crusaders are known for all that awful stuff which we spoke about before. Yet they batter, and I mean batter, the Lions rolling more, which was their strength.
Yeah.
And that's what annoyed me. Like, they've just got an answer for it. They're like the smart kid in the room. They've got an answer for everything.
Because the Crusaders have got, well, an international pack. And near enough an international back line.
Questions have to be asked now, don't they, if you're a Bath fan. What was Todd Blackadder doing with these boys in the 9 years he was not winning titles?
it's a phenomenal question.
It's a phenomenal record,
how
isn't
did
it?
He keep his job?
Yeah. Nearly again.
Well, he's a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah.
Let's count for something.
Well, jumping around the other stories then, and very quickly, Sean Edwards, we forgot to mention this last week, but Sean Edwards is done with rugby union for the time being, or soon enough he will be heading back to Wigan Warriors.
Oh, and as well, yeah. Wales Online reported this, has taken a financial risk, which, of course, he hasn't, has he, really?
No. I think it's interesting that he's gone, that he's not gone for a bigger job in union or another defence job.
I like it, you know. I think it's a really good move for him. Sean Edwards is a kind of old hat now in terms of the rugby league coach who's come over to Union and now does defence. He's a very good defence coach, right? But it's a route well travelled.
It is.
And plus, he's been around all these countries now. He just wants to do the M62 corridor.
Exactly.
Nice, easy life.
Bomb cakes.
Exactly.
That sort of thing, right? But going back to league, I think, is really smart, because say if he does, like, 3 years with Wigan Warriors, who probably got a bigger budget than everyone else. You know, they're still the probably the biggest name in rugby league, probably the most powerful team in rugby league. He wins a couple of titles. He's playing some great stuff. All of a sudden, he can come back to Union on even more demand than he originally started.
That's an interesting perspective.
Or make the step to NRL.
Yeah, he could do anything. Yeah. There's nothing
which is massive. I mean, it's relative, isn't it? Because there's a lower population in Australia, but it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And you know, Wales Online made out like if this goes wrong, mortgage done. he's on the streets. Of course, that is far from the situation. But even if it goes wrong, he can always go back. And there's no one on earth who's going to say, "No, Sean Edwards." He had a year in Wigan, just not up to it now. Oh, nonsense.
So I hadn't thought about the using that as a stepping stone to a Union head coach or DOR job. That's an interesting perspective.
Well, I guess he'll just be a more well-rounded coach. So there's so many guys who've come over to Leagues Union. Now, he's come over from Leagues Union with all that knowledge, and now he's going to go back to League with all this new knowledge. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's doing it as a stepping stone. I think he's probably just making...
I don't think
he was, but if he is, it might be quite smart.
Yeah, I don't think that's his intention.
I don't think it is, because at the point he is in his career, he doesn't need... It's not a stepping stone, is it?
No, he's just
taking a job which the sound of, but it doesn't, like you say, preclude him from coming back to Union if he decides to do a job there.
Think he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, totally, and should.
At this point, so, yeah.
What other stories? Oh, yeah, Glasgow have released their kit, and we talked before that a kit can be made or ruined by sympathetic design of sponsor logos.
Can I look?
Things which are color coordinated. So just because your brand is green, if you have a yellow kit or a whatever, just it needs to fit. And Glasgow have got a sponsor.
Perfect. That's ideal. Love it.
And not a sympathetic palette.
It is certainly not a sympathetic palette.
I don't think it could be any better.
Bright green, bright green on their dark blue and sky blue.
Everyone go out and buy that shirt.
And on the home kit as well, they've got the tartan strip to accentuate the massive green block right in the centre of it.
Well, look.
So I actually quite like the kits, apart from the sponsor.
The kits except for obviously the blame is on the sponsor there, not the actual club itself.
This sounds like such a dad thing to say, but I always think they should offer shirts in the club shop without the sponsor at one price and at a discount
for having
the sponsor on.
So I bought
an
Amazon Kindle Paperwhite thing the other day, and you can't. So it's 20 quid cheaper to get it when it pops up with adverts.
Is it?
Yeah. It's 20 quid more expensive if you don't want it popping up with adverts.
Oh, right. Never knew that.
So that is basically the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
I like that idea. Or add your own sponsors.
Yeah.
There you go.
T-Rock. <T-Rock.
laughs> I just have a range of them. Nine on. Flathley Scarlet shirt has got something like 21 sponsors on, but actually looks
enormous.
Really good.
Enormous number.
Yeah, but they're all in white. If you're sponsored, you've got one choice, and that's to be white on red.
It does raise the question, how much are these sponsors paying for one quarter of one sleeve on the left-hand side?
Yeah, it's always funny as well, isn't it, to see the quality of the sponsor. Like, is it a company that only does specialist blinds for caravans? Or is it IBM?
In the northeast side of Glasgow.
Yeah, northeast Glasgow caravan blinds.
The ones on the back side of shorts, I wonder, what do they do? I've just thought, the Exeter one, what are they? Frobishers, isn't it?
I want to say that they're fruit juices,
they're
right?
Juices, yeah, juices.
For players that like to juice. the best one is probably... Newcastle Paving, or whoever they are, the guys who do drives in Newcastle, who sponsor the laptops for the Newcastle coaches. And another Newcastle-based based one is Hitachi Heavy Equipment. I can't imagine the elasticity of demand going up or down regarding their sponsorship of Newcastle. I can't imagine any massive purchases been made on that basis.
Well, that Newcastle pack moves some heavy equipment around.
They do. Well, it's like, yeah, it's true. It's like Leicester used to be sponsored by Caterpillar. I mean, are you going to go out and buy some diesel engines?
Maybe.
Maybe. You don't know, do you?
So, Leicester, they've still got a link with, I want to say Caterpillar.
Yeah, they do.
They've got Holland and Barrett.
They do.
Do they have JCB somewhere?
Next,
yeah.
He's on the training kit, I think.
No, they can't have JCB because they're direct competitors.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to have JCB and Caterpillar.
Yeah, you can do that.
But, like, it's not all about just shifting stuff to Leicester fans or viewers. It's the association, like you say, something robust, strong, tough,
yeah,
manly, and then Caterpillar, it's a nice fit. Much like Hitachi Heavy Machinery, like you say.
Yeah, I tell you, it was really
cool.
You've
got Longo Mulapola running over people in that.
Exactly.
It's kind of a good look.
Yeah.
I tell you a really cool link-up. I don't know if they were a special sponsor or not, but the aerospace company...
Egg Chasers with your company.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Jake.
No, that's a great shout. was Thales. I think that's how you say their name. They're a big aerospace brand.
Oh, T-H-A-L-E-S.
That's it.
Thales.
Thales, or whatever you want to call them, right? And the reason I mention this is because they built, with all of their aeronautical experience and engineering prowess, built a scrum machine for the French national team.
Oh, yeah, you've spoken
about
this.
It's so cool. And it can, like, simulate, you know, different props where they push. And it's like some sort of war, like, war spider. Like, it's all, like, pneumatically powered. It's very cool. I don't know if they still use it. Probably not. Probably the laws have changed.
Yeah. Taking the hit out of it.
Mm. What other stories have we got, Tim?
Something just reminded me. It just, me saying that thing a second ago just reminded me of something.
Security! Investors? Possibly you!
With Egg Chasers.
Yeah. Prestige Worldwide.
Prestige Worldwide, Egg Chasers, same difference.
So, yeah, when I hear that, I think of Freddie Tuolangi's company, his agency company, known as Global Bro Sports, which he no longer owns, actually. He's actually had to give that up.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing something, either with Tigers. He's changed his job. So I think he's sold his book of business to another agent, of which I can't remember which one it is.
Well, other things to talk about very, very briefly. There was a lot of disgruntled Irish rugby fans unhappy with us questioning or even calling into any remote slight question Rodgers' World Rugby Hall of Fame inclusion.
By the way, I stand shoulder to shoulder with my green-clad brethren there.
I never said he doesn't deserve to at some point go into the Hall of Fame. I pointed out that I think there are more deserving people who are not yet in the Hall of Fame.
Nah.
And however, there is a is dearth the right word? That means there's a lack of it, doesn't it?
Yes.
There's a dearth of Irishmen in the World Rugby Hall of Fame, so I understand he might be the next cab off the rank from the Emerald Isle.
Positive discrimination.
Could say that. I also stand by my point.
Let's just dial back into this a second with his teammate, okay? Do you think Peter Stringer will get into the Rugby Hall of Fame?
No.
What?
I know what you're saying.
Outrageous.
I know what you're saying, but...
Outrageous, Tim.
No, but I know what you're saying, because he won stuff too.
He won loads of stuff. He almost defines a generation of scrum halves. He lasted till 40. I mean, that's kind of who it's designed for.
Peter Stringer
is a true great. 100%. I mean, and actually...
It depends by what measure.
I didn't even like him.
A great professional... Who got the most out of the abilities he was given,
and the
with incredible
of
dedication
him.
And nutrition and training.
Exactly.
But in terms of being one of the world greats,
yeah, I'd say so.
He's had an amazing career, but not a world great.
So
never the best scrum half of any single time.
Right, well, quite.
But adding it all up, I think he's in.
Mm. Hmm. How much does his two seasons at Sale influence that decision?
Does anyone in New Zealand or Australia know who Peter Stringer is?
How many people, you know, in the UK know who Stephen Larkham is? Casual rugby fans.
Then.
I'd say they would do.
I'm not sure.
I'd tell you what it was. It's more his time with Bath.
But anyway, we got on to Peter Stringer. We don't need to have a discussion about Peter Stringer.
Just on Ronan O'Gara to make a couple of points. So I said last week, without checking, I suspected he would be near the top of the Heineken Cup points scored and Six Nations points scored. So it turns out Six Nations, he is number one.
There you go.
Most points scored ever in the Six Nations ahead of Johnny Wilkinson.
Fair enough.
He also has the third most appearances in the Six Nations behind Brian O'Driscoll and Sergio Parise.
That's pretty impressive.
That's awesome.
As well.
In the Heineken Cup, he has the most appearances with 110.
That's quite impressive as well.
And he has scored 496 points more than the next highest point scorer. He's nearly 500 points clear in the all-time Heineken Cup point scoring list.
And this is how I know that him and Stringer are both good, right? I say him both.
Bringing
him
straight back to Stringer.
I tell you why, because I always think of him as like a duo. And that's fair, because...
It is a good point, actually, for much of that time.
So that's JB's only complaint with Roger's inclusion, is it wasn't Roger and Stringer. That's a double act.
Well, hang on, this isn't unprecedented. I mean, there is the Larkham-Gregan stand in the Bromley Stadium.
Entire rugby teams have been inaugurated into the Rugby World Hall of Fame.
Why not a partnership?
Yeah. I think the partnership is actually more important than the individual. In fact, that's what Munster should do. You know, they should have the Stringer Agora stand. That'd be amazing, or at least a bar or something. Or a bench.
It's interesting because those stats you just mentioned, Phil, are mighty impressive.
They're amazing.
The Six Nations ones are the ones that I'm paying attention to.
No,
I think it's relevant that World Rugby Hall of Fame has to be measured on the highest level, international shirt. Heineken Cup rugby is a sort of supporting evidence, but it isn't the basis. So I would almost discount that and go, it's when he was wearing the Irish jersey is when it counts. Because that's when you're up against the very best.
Would you then go and have like a European Cup Hall of Fame and a Premier League.
Well, there you
Hall
go. That might make more sense.
Because I can see that distinction.
I think it should be both. Because I'd actually argue that there's been times where the winners of the Heineken Cup would be other nations.
Oh, well, no, I don't doubt that. But that's the same. Yeah. A club side in football would be a national side. But you make decisions about who a great footballer is.
But I don't
at World
actually
Cups
think
and European you Championships.
You've got to do it both. Because, if you take Messi, for example, football analogy again, but he's never won anything at
which is why he's never going to be in the top league.
He should be, because he's one of the best of all time.
No, well, he's not. He's a level below because he's only done it in European.
No, that's the other way around. So Sam Warburton, who will no doubt be a Hall of Famer, has got a great career, but the very best career, no, that is reserved for people like Paul O'Connell.
Who've done both.
Yeah, and Brad Driscoll. I mean, that is the pinnacle. You've got to do it in both arenas.
I think doing it at both is the best. It is more important.
You know, eighth place with Cardiff Blues,
I'm not saying it gets discounted. I'm saying it's supportive of the...
Like a second preference vote.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, this guy was really good in international rugby, and look at his club the international rugby, you have to dominate at that level to be a World Rugby Hall of Famer.
So where do you stand, right, on World Rugby's top try scorer being the Japanese fella that overtook David Campese?
So that has got to be with an asterisk.
No, it's not with an asterisk, though, is it?
Yeah, but...
It's officially not.
I know it's not, but when you explain it, it's like the All Blacks have got the longest continuous winning streak with an asterisk next to it because it's tier one winning streak.
Because Cyprus have actually had a longer one.
Cyprus hammering everyone.
So the Cyprus record wouldn't have an asterisk.
Yeah, and if the All Blacks
would talk about, I don't know who it is, Habana, for example, you'd say, Brian Habana, asterisk.
Yeah.
So he is the top try scorer in international rugby in tier one.
Well, I just say that All Blacks need to stop being such massive cowards and go and play Cyprus. Stop running.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess by your standards, Tim, you do leave the door open a little bit for the Japanese winger to overtake David Campese as the top all-time try scorer, because technically that is the highest level.
Well, he did it. It was in a national shirt.
It was in a national shirt.
So, and there might be merit to someone like him going into the Hall of Fame because of the context of an emerging nation.
Yeah, and it is very important at this point to clarify that we are talking about men's rugby.
Exactly.
All of these records are men's rugby.
Yep.
Oh yeah, the men's records only.
Yes. Well,
you have to go listen to somewhere. I'm sure we've done a podcast where we've gone through all of the records from the women's game.
Yes, we have.
Probably. Yeah.
Right.
So we've got two clubs that we're going to chuck under the spotlight. Let's get into that.
This is relatively easy.
Yeah. So we've been going through the 12 Premiership sides, two at a time, over the last 5 weeks. This week, the final two, the finalists in the final Aviva Premiership, what will be the Gallagher Premiership this year. So who do you want to start with first? Who was second in the table? It was Saracens, wasn't it? Saracens. Now, they haven't done a lot of business, but they've done some quite significant business.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's limited. It's Saracens-esque, you might say. So they brought in the only one... Well, they brought in three players. So they brought in Tom Wollstonecroft from London Irish. They brought in David Strettle, who comes back aged 34, I think I'm right in saying.
Yep.
And then Alex Lewington to strengthen their ranks. Leaving them, Scout Brits has retired or not.
He's not going to Harlequins anymore, apparently.
He's going to the Bulls, isn't he? It's been fairly widely reported. It's not been confirmed.
No. Well,
yeah. Well, let's
stick on Saracens.
Nathan Earl has left.
Yeah.
But with Lewington coming in, that feels stronger. Wiles has retired, which is a bit of a blow in terms of versatility, but Strettles comes back in. Kieran Longbottom has left, and Mike Ellery has gone. Other than that, there's a couple of younger lads who've left. So Scout Brits is a loss. Scout Brits would be a loss for any side. But other than that, they've seemed stronger in the positions that they've lost.
Yes.
And they already had, well, if not the strongest, the second strongest on a level footing with Exeter in terms of strength and depth and talent.
100%.
Yeah.
So, and they're stronger in the sense that guys like Michael Rhodes missed most of last season.
True. Billy Vunipola missed most of last season. Yeah.
So if I was just to flag up one warning sign for Saracens, this is the first year I remember them having significant bad press. So they lost, what, five games in a row? Which is
I think they lost nine out of... No.
It's something ridiculous.
They lost something through that October, November, December. It was something like... And this was in all competitions because this included the Anglo-Welsh Cup.
Yeah.
It was something like... It was either seven or nine, I can't remember which, but straight defeats.
Mm. Yeah.
In all competitions.
Including two or three in the Anglo-Welsh.
Yeah, you had to do some real... Like...
Including a hammering at home to Claremont.
Oh, yeah, they lost... Claremont home and away,
but they got pumped at home.
Yeah,
away was quite good.
I mean, that was the start of the resurgence. But they had a terrible time of it, a real wobble, and then came through and won.
Yeah. So I mean, the only warning signs really are those mid-season jitters, which I put down to lots of things, and also like you mentioned, Tim, there's a lot of kind of statistical jujitsu to get to that figure. But their squad, I mean, back in the day when Saracens first started becoming Saracens, they'd like put in one guy, take another guy out. It was true squad rotation. They could go really deep into their squad and have no drop off. And this is the first time I've really thought they are massively reliant on player X or player, well, the Vunipolas, basically. I mean, you take them out and they miss so much.
So they've strengthened their number eight options through bringing Ben Earl through the ranks. And also they brought him in last year. He scored two tries this weekend, just gone in the pre-season friendly. Mm. Sione Vailanu, the Tongan lad. So they have options there, and of course they've always got Jackson Ray as a competent backup. But he's not
one of the players of the season last year.
He's not a like-for-like replacement.
No. Who is?
So they've got options. They've got carrying options in there.
I'd like to see Ben Earl take the next step. I mean, he captained the team for the LV, and they lost against Harlequins, I do believe. I just didn't think he was... quite as good as I was hoping for.
I don't think he was quite an England summer tourist.
No,
definitely
not at that level.
We've definitely not seen. But
he's not making the Hall of Fame yet.
Him and Ben Earl and Zach Mercer are two that need to step up this year. Obviously, Zach Mercer for Bath, not
Saracens. I don't think Zach Mercer can step up.
He's got some incredible talents, but... Yeah.
Stick on Saris.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think Mercer... No, go on.
So, yeah, I'd struggle to pick. So, losing someone like Billy Vunipola, if you lose who a couple of seasons ago was the best number eight in the world...
Yep.
You're never going to be able to get a like-for-like replacement. Unique.
I mean, even if you've got the best number eight in the world, right, whoever that may be
Kieran
now.
Reed.
Sorry?
Kieran Reed.
Yeah. All right, Kieran Reed. Even if you've got Kieran Reed to replace him...
It's not a like-for-like replacement.
It's not, yeah, exactly.
The only one would be Dwayne Vermaelen, who is he's the only one who can do...
Yeah.
And maybe Pickermalls, who can do the combination of the heavy carrying...
Pickermalls is probably
and the skill set.
A more likely number eight than Vermaelen, because they kind of just pinball off people.
But yeah, but losing Billy is always going to be a problem.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at the squad now. I mean, their second row options are pretty ridiculous.
Whatever they do there, they know how to develop second rows.
Yeah,
because you've got the young lad. I can't remember his name.
The guy who was in the England training squad.
That's it. Him. I mean, he's the next big thing, excuse the pun. And you've already got the guy that...
Yeah, Ezekwe. He's a veteran now at 22, or is it 23?
I think he's 20, mate.
Not even that.
Yeah.
No, 20, 21?
I think he's 20.
He is 20.
Yeah. And Marrow at 23, and Cruz at 25, 26.
Is Marrow even that old? Yeah, Marrow is 23. Yeah.
23, really knocking on a bit, isn't he? He needs to really get into another gear if he's going to be taken as a serious rugby player. Yeah,
it's nuts.
It makes you think what a stupid decision Eddie Jones made, just canning him in the summer tour. 20-year-old, come on. So how's Hull going to do?
They look frightening. I think what you saw last year, for a team to have a wobble the way they had, recover and win, it's very, very similar to Exeter the previous season, who had that really horrible run.
At the start was that?
Through.
I think they lost. Lost the first four, didn't they?
No.
Not that many.
It was like through October, November.
Have a look at Exeter's start. I think they lost the first four.
They didn't.
Was that the year before, maybe?
They lost 9 and 11 in all competitions, but it was again through that Anglo-Welsh Cup, European Cup.
Yeah.
And they were affected by international call-ups in a way they hadn't been before at Exeter because their players were suddenly more in demand. Anyway, the fact the Saracens came through that in the way they did, I don't see a repeat of it. In the way that Exeter dominated the season as champions until the final, I think Saracens are going to dominate the domestic season.
I'm struggling to think of reasons why they can't, why you'd be wrong. And I can't. They're just going to be consistent and good and tough. And do you know what, mate? It's those hard wins they get, like, against Sale at the AJ Bell, like just tough wins.
All the fixtures you
could have picked anyone. Like,
that's a one score game.
I know. It's just you're right, but it's just funny you picked that one.
Well, I mean, that's the obvious
one. It could have been any.
Could have been any one score game.
Any real tough one. Yeah.
Yeah. Good, yeah. If you can handle Sale, you can handle anyone.
So, in terms of fantasy rugby draft.
Yeah,
I'll be asking the usual questions, but obviously fantasyrugbydraft.com, go online, get your mates, because the best thing about it, or one of the best things about it, is the WhatsApp group the stupid nerve-wracking just discussions that we have on there about everything.
It's a double-edged sword too, because you can actually spiral into the depths of depression when you realise you don't actually have 10 friends. Yeah, so just make sure in your mind you're very confident that you can find 10 friends, because it can get very embarrassing. Or if you don't want to take that mental risk, you know, that risk with your well-being, you can actually go into one of our leagues.
Yes.
So go on to Twitter.
You can join some public leagues.
Yeah. There's public leagues, but there's also the Egg Chasers Specialist Leagues. Mm-hmm. So go on to Twitter.
Why are they specialist again?
At Rugby Podcast or at Fancy Rugby Draft.
Mm-hmm.
And... we will be posting regularly new leagues for
Egg Chasers listeners
to get involved in.
9 people that are passionate enough about rugby to take it seriously, it's tough to find.
It is.
Because I wouldn't want to do I wouldn't want to do fantasy rugby with a league of people who didn't take it seriously.
Debbie from accounts.
Exactly. Can you imagine?
Well, we had to expel someone last year.
We had to expel a prominent rugby reporter, if that's the right word. Rugby person. They're just not taking it seriously.
Part of the rugby fraternity who goes to games and stuff. They weren't taking it seriously
enough.
She
knows who she is.
And they were expelled. And we've got in a new blood.
Yeah. Someone who's going to take it very seriously.
Too seriously.
I suspect there might be some insider trading.
Too connected for my
liking.
Yeah,
that's a bit annoying.
Yeah, we
how
really
well connected this individual is.
His connections are in the championship mainly, though.
Well, it's not about that, is it? It's about rival fractions and, you know, dodgy trades, and there will be the commissioner's office will be looking at this very closely.
Oh, it's my brother, basically. Head coach of London Scottish. It's my brother. Yeah,
as we say in the financial services industry, was that an arm's length transaction? Was it? I mean,
I don't think.
Was it a connected party? Yes, it was. Threw the book at him.
I think he'd almost prefer to do business elsewhere to spite me than to be in cahoots.
Well, in that case, I'm his man.
So, yes, fantasyrugbydraft.com. So, your questions, Phil, regarding Saracens.
So, your number one pick, if you could have any one player from this team, who would it be?
It's got to be Lewington. Not involved in international.
Great shout.
Lewington is a very good shout.
He'll be one. He'll go top five because the number of defenders he beats, the yards he gets, the tries he scores, he's a deadly finisher. Just those jinking runs he makes. Sometimes he can pick up 5 points on a 5 metre run just by beating defenders.
Yeah. Now, there's competition for the back three places.
This is true.
So I would have thought he'll get a starting position, especially because of other guys missing through internationals.
Stretts' great mates will be there, though.
Yeah.
Great mates. I don't know. I think Maitland will probably make it.
To the internationals.
I'd say so.
We'll see. So, Phil, your fantasy rugby draft questions then? Or was that? Or have we already done that?
Let's do them again, in case.
We may have had a technical issue and we may be repeating ourselves or maybe not. We don't know.
I think to answer my own first question, which I think has happened and I think was who's the main pick if you could have one?
Oh, yes, that was the question.
I would say. So I think Lewington will be very interesting, but rotation might be a question.
Mm.
But Lazowski, now, so last season he was a fly half. Now that he's a midfielder, will be a hell of a pick.
Oh, that's huge, because midfielders do not score that well.
And he seems to play, so he'll play fly half and he'll kick when Farrell is not there. When Farrell is there, he'll often play either 15 or 12 or 13.
13 is his position.
Yeah.
And he might play 20. He might have even 20 minutes at the end where he's the goal kicker, for example.
Yeah.
Which also makes Ben Spencer one of the rare scrum halves that's worthwhile as well, because he quite often kicks.
He can kick. Yeah.
Across that back line, if they get Farrell, Lazowski and Good playing, they've gone from, you know, the team that are boring with no real playmakers, very direct, to a lot of playmakers and a lot of pace and talent. They're going to be really good.
Oh, just on.
Oh, by the way, I'd go for Saracen's front row, but never mind.
Of course.
The highest point scorer in the game by more than 100 points last year.
Is that
and
right?
The year before. And they were the top scorer the year before as well.
Yeah. They are losing Scout Brits, which will hurt them a little bit, but they'll still be so good. And just the number of penalties that they win. And they've got carriers across it. Yeah, they don't concede as penalties as well, which is important.
Well, they do at scrum time. I mean, they're not that good at scrummaging. People don't really talk about that. But they're not that great.
They're phenomenal at everything else.
Everything else. Yeah. just one other thing on Saracens before we move on to Exeter. Did you see Skalkberger and Marcelo Bosch doing the coverage of the Springboks Argentina game?
No.
No, I didn't, because I watched it on Fast Forward.
Ah, okay. So they did the pre-match. So they weren't the in-game pundits, they were the pre-match, half-time, post-match. They were really good. So we saw them in Philadelphia.
Yes, we did.
And they were two of the old boys.
That?
We have mentioned that.
Yeah.
Maybe once. Maybe we should mention it again.
Yeah, we should talk about that more often.
But they two of the old boys, when some of the younger lads were kind of strutting their stuff, they were just sat at the bar nursing a bourbon or a few bourbons.
There's three of them. I can't remember who they were, though. Skalkberger. Marcelo Bosch and there's one other, and they looked phenomenally cool.
Yeah.
Watching the boxing, drinking their bourbon.
Figolo, maybe?
It might have been
Figueroa. It could have been, you know.
It might have been. It could have been. Who was obviously involved in the game in a very different capacity this weekend. So, yeah, I just thought it was... So they didn't play in the Bedford pre-season fixture because they were doing their TV work.
Well, if Saracens don't go to... Do you know they go on their little tours to, like, New York or the Beer Fest? If they don't go to Jersey this year, I'd be amazed.
It's too dangerous. Just too dangerous.
Where are we going to go? Mogadishu instead. It's safer.
And the sleeper.
Yeah, the unknown player from Saracens.
Well, why don't you go with someone like Ben Earl? Back rowers are hard to find. He gets good playing time. He can carry hard.
Yeah.
For that reason, I'm going to say... Even more under the radar, but someone who could burst through like and be someone who's like Jackson Ray is Conlon. They seem to quite like this guy.
They must do, mustn't they? Because he's kept them around for 3 years and they never play him. I mean, they're happy to pay his wages. I was thinking
he was injured last year. I seem to think
was he? I agree with you here because they've brought him in from Exeter. Now Exeter don't sign idiots, so he's obviously got something about him. He's a big boy as well, and so I just that's a great shot. Actually,
That's interesting. I was more thinking so Ben Earl and Sione Vailanu, who are the kind of the replacement out and out eights. Other than that, it's difficult to get sleepers because there are very few sleepers in this team, and very few who will play. So Tompkins is
25 now.
Yeah, he's never seemed to break into that squad. He's had little. And he's a good kind of jinking runner. He's 23. But look at what I told you he's done at 23.
Exactly.
But
look what James Ryan's done.
There's options in the centre. Because so, Lazowski will slot in there. You've got Barrett and Bosch.
No one's getting Barrett's
who, for the big games, those two will always play. And then you've got Duncan Taylor, who was missing quite a bit with injury last year.
My God.
But is they've just got options right through.
Duncan Taylor might be an interesting one, because if he's missing from last year, they do like him. He plays on the wing as well.
Yeah, but they're pretty stacked on the wings.
Yeah. So no sleepers at Saracens?
No.
It's difficult to find
a young player.
It's difficult to find a sleeper.
Exeter.
So they have done a bit of business. I say that, as I say that, I bring up the list of Exeter's business.
Have you seen Don Armand's hair while you're working that
so,
out?
So, actually, yes, is one. But two, I interviewed Harry Williams this week. And we actually went in depth about the Exeter barber. And it's worth pointing out that some people joke about, oh, yeah, this team must have a certain barber. No, Exeter Chiefs do have a single barber.
Wow.
So the Finn,
let's see.
The fun, has... The Finn is now blonde.
Perfect. Couldn't be any better.
So it's like a normal haircut with a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's like my daughter's got like some clip-on bits of hair she just puts in. It's like he's got that.
I've
got
to say,
it's a strong look.
Personally, I think he looks amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, he does look amazing.
Like, astoundingly
good. Few people can carry it off.
And that's the point, isn't it? I did it, I'd look stupid. You know?
You certainly
it
would.
It looks good.
Me or Tim, we look ridiculous.
Yep. It looks good on 12-year-old girls and Don Armand. Anything would look good on Don Armand, so that's fine.
Agreed.
So, Exeter's business. In players out, they've kind of released quite a lot of the old guard. So, Rimmer, Salvi, Horseman have all retired. And Waldrum has gone. Mm-hmm. He was named in the Wellington Lions Mitre Cup squad.
Really?
Yeah.
When if you imagine if he gets to play for the Hurricanes next year?
Hell of a signing.
That'd be amazing. I'd love to see that.
Hurricanes could do with. They've got the most unbelievable back line. They could do some steel and some like experience in the pack.
Exactly.
I'm not saying Waldrum's going to be playing for them next year, but they could do with it. Other than that, so Ed Holmes, the second row, has gone to Bristol Bears. Not really a loss. Moulton, who's the prop, I think, has gone to Bristol.
No, the hooker.
The hooker.
Sean Moulton, backup hooker.
Yeah.
Has he been somewhere else, Sean Moulton? I don't know.
Nottingham.
Yeah.
And then Chudders has gone to Bath.
Yeah.
Players they've brought in. So Santiago Cordero, who was there towards the end of last season.
Oh, the loan signing is permanent.
And Cuthbert. So all they've done is bring in two outside backs.
So
to what was already a pretty strong.
I wonder.
Back three.
If they look at Cuthbert and they see what they did with Tom James, because Tom James played some of his best rugby at Exeter. A bit troubled in Wales. Had already made the Welsh squad, and just taking those boys away from that awful goldfish bowl, which I know is a cliche, but it's absolutely true.
Mm.
Of Wales, bringing them over to Exeter, where they're relatively unknown, and letting them play, that could be great business. You know?
What I like about Exeter is there are very in that back three options now. There's lots of good players, none of which kind of do the same job.
They're all well.
See, I think they all do the same job, but I'd be interested.
Oh well,
to
no,
see
they
what...
do, but they're all quite unique. They've got individual things that make them unique. But what I think is the story behind Cordero and Cuthbert coming in is this is going to be the year that Noel makes the 15 jersey his.
Ooh, do you reckon?
I think it could happen. Yeah. Because that 15's been an area.
Lockie Turner's gone as well.
He's gone.
Lockie Turner's gone.
Yeah,
15 is the year. So there's only Dolman. And yep. 15 is a position that I think they have been trying to work out what they do next. I know there was rumoured interest in Mike Haley before he decided to go to Ireland.
And Mike Brown, allegedly.
Mike Brown, apparently, was rumoured as well.
That would not feel like an Exeter signing.
Mike Haley would, I think.
Yeah, Haley would have done.
Jack Noel, 15, that's what I'm going for.
Hmm. If Jack Noel can make that 15 shirt his own as a fantasy rugby draft player, he would be very handy.
Go back to Jack Noel playing 15. What element of Jack Noel do you think would be good for him and his rugby playing 15 and for the team?
Broken field running.
Yeah.
Do you not think Jack Noel makes his opportunities with his hard work because he's allowed to roam off his wing rather than those sort of timed interventions which top fullbacks do?
Well, does Alex Good not do that for Saracens?
He's far more calculated, I think. Like, Jack Noel will be hitting rucks, he'll be popping up off shoulders, he works... Like, it's almost that free role that he gets, which allows him to work so hard, and that's where he gets his success from.
So I don't think all of his success... He is very successful doing that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that he would not be successful doing a different role.
I just think he'd take too much away from his game.
But you've got other guys that can do that game, as in Woodburn and Shaw do that, the industrious winger, superbly well. Absolutely,
but he is the best industrious winger. It almost sounds like a backhand compliment, but he's brilliant at that role.
Yeah, I'd be very keen to see him, rather than doing kind of the hard yards, popping up through the middle, some broken field running, because his change of direction, his speed in a change of direction is superb. So I'm interested.
Like a punt returner.
Yeah. The bit I'm not sure about is, just because I've not seen it that much, is his kind of decision-making and tactical kicking game.
Yeah, I can't really recall him kicking much.
That,
sure he can do
that's
it.
That's a good point.
It's a question.
It's a good point.
So, yeah, I think he'll be very interesting.
But Dolman aside, I'm not sure, other than the young guys they've got, what's his name? Bo Dilly and...
Oh, yeah.
And this guy begins with an H. I can't remember his name. Anyway, Hendricks. I'm not sure what they've got. So I'm assuming that one of their back three players will slot in at fullback a bit more. Okay, well, that's interesting. So not a great deal of business then.
No.
No, but they're all about... I think what will happen with Exeter is you'll get to midway through next season and there'll be a new kid, and he'll have played five games, he'll have done nothing spectacular for the first three, then he'll come on the radar, and then by his 10th game in, he'll probably be the next Sam Simmons. And that's what they do so well. Like, you know, when it was Townsend, when it was Maunder, then we've got Simmons 1, then you've got Simmons 2. And, you know, they just keep bringing these lads through. So I wouldn't...
Well, they're two second rows.
Huh?
They're two locks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Hill. I can't believe I missed that. You know, that will be the story of Exeter, unearthing some guy who then becomes one of the best in that position, whether it be a new hooker or a new... Well, not the best in that position. A regular starter who's then pushing for further honours.
Yeah. Is this the season that Joe Simmons makes the 10 jersey his own?
By the way, wouldn't that just be, like, the thing? It'd be so good as well if, like, for all the talk about Ford or Cipriani, like, it's this is the boy who is the long-term answer to the... To the 10 jersey. You know, it's just someone completely from left field. Hasn't even done an apprentice session yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't even had an asterisk.
Not even an asterisk, exactly.
So, same questions as usual. We've already kind of touched on the main man. Would you go for Noel? Would you go for Ollie Woodburn, who was their top scorer last year? Would you go for one of the Simmons boys?
I think if Simmons is the fly half, it'd be pretty decent.
Joe Simmons would be probably my top fly half pick. Because he's not going to be involved in the international squad, you don't think?
Yeah, it's unlikely, but it's possible.
And I can see him playing most of the big games this year.
Yeah, I think I can see him. He got the nod because he started the Premiership final as well. He had that run in after Christmas and did very, very well in every game he played.
The
Sam Simmons would be a great shout as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Could he go first round as a number eight? Because not many number eights go first round.
I think it's unlikely. He does score very, very well, actually.
Do you like to get...
But not as well as some of the backs. And there's a good chance he'll be missing a bit with England as well.
But if you were drafting, I'm just thinking about this, there's so many outside backs that score relatively highly, and there's not many number eights that score highly. Strategically, on balance, could you get a better net average score by actually going early for someone like Sam Simmons and then thinking I'll get a solid back three player instead of one of the top ones?
Yeah, it's an interesting tactic to consider whether you do go for, say, a high-scoring...
All right, nerds, move
loose forward and midfielder, who there are only a handful who score highly, rather than just going for outside backs.
Wish I hadn't said all this, damn it!
Yeah. the only question you need to consider is this. Do you want all of your season's points condensed into one game week? Because if you do, the one you want is James Short. One appearance, 60 tries.
Yeah,
that's the one. If he's playing, pick him. And Bolter, I don't know, someone who we've never even heard of yet.
Yeah, that's probably the thing with the Bolter. There'll be some amazing talent coming through. We just don't know it yet. I tell you, so Bolter, he was injured the whole of last season. Campagnaro.
Oh, that's a good... The Italian centre. Good shout.
Now, they've got a lot of options.
Yeah, they do.
In the centre. A huge number of options.
Devoto wasn't particularly prominent last year.
He had injuries as well, didn't he? But Campagnaro... So, Devoto and Campagnaro are quite different players. Campagnaro does score well because of his running game.
And makes people miss. Interesting. Yards, mate. Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Right, let's wrap this up now. I'm done.
Me too. Right. Bloody hell, it's 10 past 10.
Oh my goodness.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, doesn't it just?
Nice one for listening. You know where to find us. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.